How are you?
Blessed.
Very good. We want to start off with a question this morning. Do you have any phobias? Got any of those? I think some common ones are perhaps snakes. Anybody got that one? Some do, some don't, yeah. Anybody down with spiders? That bug some of you? Yeah. What about heights? Does that get some of you perhaps? Close spaces? That one does me a little. That can bother me a little bit. Knew a young lady one time had a fear of dogs. I don't care if it was this big and the friendliest dog in the world. It was a deep fear. Any of you afraid of getting shots? Anybody got that little phobia going? I've got that one a little bit too. I've gotten better over the years. Anybody got the germ one? Anybody wash their hands 15 times during the day? A little nervousness there. And of course, anybody got the one that I'm doing here this morning, speaking in public? Anybody got that one? That better not be mine, right? Well, what I want to do is to lead into what I want to say today is I want to share with you probably, I think you can ask my wife to clarify it, but here's my phobia. Here's my phobia, and I thought I'd do it with a picture. Has anybody else got that one? Okay, there's a few of you. I think I saw a couple kind of shake their head or raise their hand. I have, and I'm going to state it, it's an irrational, it's a phobia in my case. When I was a little boy, I don't remember how old, I was playing at my grandmother's, and she had those hedges around her house, and the kind that you could go behind and through and all of that, and I got into a nest of these. They had built in that hedge. So I was little bitty. Well, look, is it fair to say it made an impression? Not just for that day physically, but emotionally for life. I mean, these were the guys that got me, these red ones. So I have a real hatred in my heart for those. And I can even remember one time, talking about one of those just terrifying moments in my life, is my room was an add-on to our house. And my father was an electrician by trade, and he was a great electrician. Carpenter, maybe he was a rough guy. Maybe he was a, you know, framer. He wasn't a finish-out guy. Can we leave it there? He wasn't a finish-out. And so there were some gaps in places, and I learned a lesson because my room, since it wasn't sealed as it should be, became kind of a haven. At least one winter it did. In other words, when it gets cold, what do these things do? They look for places to go. And since my room was an add-on, it wasn't part of the AC of the house. In other words, I'm not a part of the central heat, so it stayed a little bit colder. So my dad bought me an electric blanket. Remember those? You know, you put them on the bed, you plug, turn them on. It's nice and toasty when you get in. So I'd been in the house, and it was a cold night, and I ran out to my room. It was through the garage. I had to run through the garage, and I ran into my room, and I jumped into bed, and I felt like I was on fire. And I thought, what's going on here? And I threw the covers off and I jumped out of bed and I went and turned the light on. And the wasps had not only come into the room, they'd gotten into the bed where the blanket was. Can you understand why I hate these things? I mean, can you appreciate that for just a moment, why I hate these things? Snakes don't bother me so much. Spiders, not so much. A lot of these other things that I've mentioned. But, I mean, this, oh, you know, I mean, just look. If you're like me, Ben, I think you're just looking at the picture. But you don't want to look. You're looking at me, right? No, you're looking at the picture. Yeah. Okay. Here's where I want to come at. Is that I don't know if you remember this slogan here a few years back. No fear was a campaign. In fact, I got a kick out of it. I thought, you know, I wonder what's going on with them. I hadn't heard anything from them in years, so I looked it up. Nofear.com. Well, it's still a website. They just direct you somewhere else. They declared bankruptcy. I guess they ought to have fear of bankruptcy, right? But if you remember this campaign, and what I want to do here is that I start off talking about phobias. And I guess I want to say it this way, and I'm finding it this way, is a phobia is an irrational fear. In other words, there's things we ought to be afraid of or cautious of and that kind of thing. But when it crosses the boundary into some sort of a phobia, it's become something that's irrational. Okay. But the other side of that is to have no fear, right? In other words, that's kind of irrational too, isn't it? Now, I mean, I understand the point of this campaign. It was to get you out there and do things. And I'm sure they made some nice money off this for the time being until they declared bankruptcy. But no fear is also a dangerous place to be. So where are we in the middle? I mean, in other words, very often in life we're looking for balance. And here's the thing that I want us to look at today, and we're going to spend a couple of more weeks on fleshing out some examples. and talking about that. But, and this is something that I think many of you in here will buy, but if you want to look out into our world by and large, it wouldn't be accepted. Do you think there's a devil? It's a good question. You've got to answer that for yourself. Do you think there's a devil? Now, by and large, in our society, I'm going to say it this way, we're scientific. Is that fair? I mean, yeah, we've still got a lot of superstition perhaps in our society, but by and large, if you go talk to the people you work with this week or hang out with, you say, do you think there's really a devil? I suspect that the percentages are lower today in people that believe that than there were 50 years ago. What do you think? That's just anecdotal on my part, but I have a feeling you probably would have gotten more of an answer 50 years ago. People would have said, yeah, I believe it. Today, people might even laugh at you for that belief. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm getting at is that for us, it's very easy to get caught up in the mindset of the world we live in, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to do and to start thinking in certain ways and to not realize that the devil is very real. He's very real. There is something that is working against us. There is something that is working against us. And I think about it sometimes in terms of like raising children. Let me use that as an example. You're kind of caught as a parent, aren't you? Because one of the things you want to do in raising your child is you want to create as safe a world as possible for them, right? I mean, we do that. And we go to some great lengths sometimes to do that. People will go to great extremes to put their children in the right school district, right? Makes sense to me, doesn't it to you? You want them to be in a good place? And we'll do all kinds of things to ensure the safety of our children because we want to teach them at some level that the world is a good place. Right? Isn't that dangerous too, though? Because as soon as we send them out into the world, what are we teaching them? The world's a bad place. And it's tough sometimes because it was tough with us. With our children, because you know, being a minister, when you have a child, it's kind of like the church's child, in a way. In other words, I mean, it was interesting because, and we were more of the disposition of, you want the kid, take her, you know, we too. What you know? I mean, I'm joking a little there, but in other words, we liked the idea that our children would be passed around. And when I was doing college ministry, our children got passed around a lot because they all liked to play with them and talk to them and do things. And so, and I like that at one level because I want my children to not be distrustful of everybody they meet. But on the other hand, don't I want them to be distrustful? You see, we're tugged, aren't we? We live in this thing. And sometimes we can go, and what I'm doing is I use that as an example there because spiritually, I think sometimes we can forget the threat of Satan is very real. See, one of the things that I would like to get through to you this morning is that it is a real threat. It is a real threat. And, well, let me use a couple of passages here to talk about this for a second. This one comes from Job, chapter 1. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Don't you think Job would have liked to have had a heads up on that conversation? Haven't you been in your life you'd like to have had a heads up on a conversation that was had that's coming your way? This comes from Zechariah 3. And this is part of a vision that's going on there in Zechariah. So if you want the broader context, read that. But it says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." And that's really kind of the meaning of the word Satan, an accuser. An accuser. So you get the picture here. You've got the high priest standing before the Lord, and you've got Satan doing what? Accusing him. Probably got some stuff to accuse him on. What do you think? You got any stuff we can accuse you on? If we all knew the truth? Okay. "The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?' Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sins, and I have put rich garments on you.'" Okay. Now, what I want us to do for a moment here is, and just consider for just a second, I mean, would you be willing for just a moment, I mean, if you're not buying what I'm saying this morning, would you just for just a moment be willing to consider that maybe somewhere in a realm that we can't grasp, or maybe we can't really pick out with our three senses, I mean our five senses, that we can't really pick out, what would you think if there was a conversation going on about you and how to bring you down? And what I'm suggesting to you is, it probably is going on. Now, does that scare anybody here? Does that make anybody for just a moment go, whoa? It does me. It does me. And I wanted to read you all those two passages because I wanted to try and show you two examples of where what's going on. There's a conversation taking place about an individual on earth saying, you know what? Let's do something about him. And I realize this is fiction, but if you want something interesting to read, and you people either love it or hate it, but the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Now, like I say, I've never found a middle ground on it. People either like it or they don't like it. But I enjoyed it personally, so I'll go ahead and give you my claim on the thing. But it was a conversation between a devil who was kind of in management, and he was managing some devils under him, and the devils under him, their whole purpose was to subvert Christians. It's a very interesting little dialogue that goes on about how to do it. Now, again, if you're interested in that, you can read it. If not, but let's come at it another way for just a second. And let's just ask it. Let's go on this thing that there's conversations taking place about us. I also wonder sometimes what kind of things are being said to us by Satan. You ever wonder about that? What kind of things might be? In other words, what kind of things he's trying to do to get us to think certain ways. And I mean, there's a lot of different ways I could go with this. In other words, let me give y'all one example. This is just the first one that pops into my mind. And I'm sorry, it's just where I am in life. I'm a father with three daughters. And one of the things that I think Satan whispers into our girls' ears is, you're not pretty enough, you're not good enough. I think the world tells them that. And I think it's Satan telling them that through the world. So you understand how I'm saying, you understand what I'm getting at now when I say, what kind of messages does Satan send us? My heart goes out for young ladies today because of what the world tells them, how they ought to be and what they ought to look like. And I'm here to say, and I believe this, it's a message from Satan to the women in our society. Amen, church? Yeah. And, you know, I could just walk through all kinds of different things. Guys, you're not good enough. You don't make enough. You don't have a good enough job. You're not important enough. You've been overlooked in your job. Somebody else got the promotion you should have gotten. I mean, all these types of things can be whispered there. You know, I think sometimes one of the things that Satan likes to whisper in our ears is, your child's been slighted. I mean, have you ever seen somebody that's a perfectly rational, wonderful human being until they think their child's been slighted? And then suddenly they just become a monster? I'm saying that because my wife's a teacher. I've seen it. They come in thinking their little angel is an angel, and the reality is what? No. Right? And it's tough, yeah. And people that you would ordinarily think are the most wonderful people in the world can say, and all these things get whispered there. And what I'm saying is this, is that very often I think one of the lies that Satan whispers to us through the world or however he wants to do it is simply this: you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And let me ask you for just a second. Am I the only one that asked myself that question? Do any of the rest of y'all ever ask yourself a question? What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Am I not good enough? Am I a failure? I promise you, there have been times in my life where I've been looking and say, what have I done? And I think there's Satan on my shoulder going, you're right, Mary. Just keep talking that way. Keep convincing yourself. You just keep thinking you're a failure. You just keep thinking you can't do it right. You just keep thinking these things. And the more you think them, the more you're mine. The more you're mine. I picked up a book. The context for this is, it's a book by Bill Russell. And if y'all remember Bill Russell, the Celtic great. And when Red Auerbach passed away, who was Bill Russell's coach, when he passed away, he wrote this book called Red and Me. And what he's doing is he's just talking about his relationship and his life and friendship with Red Auerbach. And so since I was a fan of the Celtics and all that, I picked that up one time. And reading through it, I came across this, and it struck me as interesting because he was talking about Red as a coach. And he said this. He said, I've never heard, this is him, him's Red. This is Bill Russell talking about Red Auerbach. We clear? I never heard him say, boy, I'd sure like to have that guy on my team. I don't care how good the guy was. When other players came into the league, like Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, or Elgin Baylor, remember those guys? Yeah. He didn't feel he needed them. This is my team right here. He never compared players. His focus was on the team he had, not on the team he wanted to have. These are the guys I'm going to war with. I'm going to win with what we got. How do I get the best out of these guys? I think it's good coaching. What do you think? Yeah. Because what if Coach Auerbach had spent his time wishing instead of winning? Yeah. There was that sense of, this is my team. This is who I've got. And there was that sense of satisfaction in just working with them. Because I promise you, Satan is there saying, you'd have it better if you had this. You'd have it better if you had that. Anything he can do to create dissatisfaction in you just helps him. This comes from John chapter 14. I want us to take a little bit different to come at it here. I want us to start looking at a moment of how some of this can work. From John chapter 14, Jesus says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Okay, now this was the NIV, and it uses the word counselor. Some of you may have the word advocate. Might be another one there. I've seen the word strengthener used. Comforter, helper, friend. And one of the reasons why you have kind of some diversity there is not exactly sure what to do with the word, and they're trying to convey the meaning behind it. And it can have a legal setting. One of the backgrounds for it is a legal setting. In other words, a lawyer might also be called a counselor or an advocate, right? Even in our language today, we might use a counselor and advocate as a term for a lawyer. So it can have that setting. So what you're starting to see here, and we'll develop this some more in a second, is that while you've got Satan as the accuser, which in our thinking today would be the prosecutor, right? Who's your defense attorney? Who's your advocate? The Spirit. The Spirit. He goes on in John chapter 14, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be, see our word there? Afraid. Talked about this whole business about being afraid. Now I want to look at this for a moment, and what I want to do is, I want to drive it right back for just a second to that context. Now I realize that this is a word for us today. Amen? But also, it was a word for them then. Okay? In that context. These are words he spoke to them to help them. Because you got to think about it for just a second. And if you'll remember, if you look at Luke, I didn't put this passage in there, but at this very time, one of the things that Jesus says to Peter is, Satan is asking to sift you like wheat. Is that chilling? Is that chilling to anybody? But let's think about it for a second. He's saying these things to him because I don't think they really get what's about to happen. We good there? Do I need to explain that? Well, they don't really understand what's about to happen with his crucifixion. They're about to all get scattered. And what I'm saying is that once he gets arrested and once he is killed, how do you think these guys feel? Do you think they feel inadequate? Do you think they feel like they've let their best friend down? Do you think they feel like they spent the last 3 years of their life and maybe it's now a failure? In other words, can you not see that there is going to be what? Tremendous doubt. Do you not think there's going to be some fear on their part? If they kill him, what might they do to me? You think you might be a target too. Why do you think Peter denied that he knew Jesus? Can you not see? I mean, just in this very context, if you read these words, just looking at them, can you not see how Jesus is telling them this stuff, knowing they're not going to understand it now, but after it's said and done, and after some things have passed, some time passed, they're going to be able to look back and go, oh. And he's reminding them that you guys are going to have the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to be there to keep you going. It is going to be the advocate. It is going to be the, and this may be a good translation for you, the comforter. The one that's going to help convince and show you that, you know what, sometimes when we have fear, doubt, we feel inadequate, our faith is not there and we're struggling with it, you have the Spirit to carry you along and to make things happen. See, in our lives, we live in fear of things we shouldn't fear that don't matter and that we don't have any control over, right? Don't we live our lives that way? There's a lot of things that we can spend a whole lot of time worried about and worked up over that don't matter. Yeah. But listen to Jesus. What is he going to do? He's going to send the Spirit. He's going to send the Spirit. Now, take a look at this slide. Now, I hope at first blush that slide bothers you a little bit. Please, I hope it bothers you. This is by God not listening. Because I really like the model of the prodigal son. Amen? Okay? Here's what I want you to understand when I say this, when I put this up there. Because fair enough that this might rub you the wrong way at first glance. I'm coming at this from our perspective, not his. Does that make sense? I've been there. Have you not been there where you've actually said to yourself, I don't think God is listening? I have. God, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? And there's some interesting things we could do on that. I mean, in other words, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it talks about the what? The Spirit intercedes for us in ways that we don't know how to do ourselves. You see another little notion there, idea of how the Spirit is working in our behalf and for us. But what I'm getting at here is this. You've got the Spirit saying to God, don't give up on this one. Isn't that powerful? Don't give up on this one. Don't do it. Because I have felt this way. And again, this slide is from an experiential point of view. It helps me to know sometimes. Because sometimes the depression can get pretty deep, can't it? You get in one of those holes and it can be pretty deep where you're really wondering what's going on. What have I done? How have I failed? What do I need to do? And that kind of stuff. And I've got to remind myself that God isn't giving up. And that the Spirit is there to help me get through that and to realize that He is my advocate. He is my comforter. He is my friend. He is my strengthener. He is the one doing all this. And great little passage from 1 John chapter 2 says this, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks. That's my bold there. I put the bold in. To the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that one who speaks is the same word here in John for this comforter, friend, advocate, counselor, all that kind of thing. So now go to thinking about it for a second. Who in the world do you have on your side, church? You've got the Son, and you've been given by the Son the Spirit. And they are both on your side, and they are both pulling for you, and they are both in the fight that you have against Satan. And you know what you say to that? My dad can whoop your dad. Got it? My dad can whoop your dad. So I can hold my head up. We good, church? So, what are you going to remember today if nothing else? My dad can whoop your dad. When you're talking to those little devils that whisper in our ears. And we're going to talk about some of those little whispers for the next couple of weeks and some of the things that are said. But we've laid some groundwork here. So, two things. There really is somewhere a conversation going on about you. That should sober you. That should make you go, whoa. But number two, God, the Spirit, and the Son are pulling for you. And with them, you can be victorious. We good, church? All right, very good.